All right, here we are. Lawyer talk off the record here in the office, headquarters, 511 South High, broadcasting.
Palm Sunday.
On Palm Sunday.
Yep.
Now, that's something. You know, I was thinking about a movie the other day. And I'll say the quote before I say the movie, because then maybe the listeners out there can play a little game with themselves if they know the quote.
Okay.
You can think about it, but don't do it.
You can think about it, but don't do it. Man, I don't know what movie that is.
I mean, we're talking probably the glory of the 70s.
Have I seen it? Would I have seen it?
Probably. 1970, I'd guess, 6, maybe 7.
76. All right. So 6 years before I'm born, I was born.
I'll start dropping hints.
Get you it. Just brought me 12 Angry Men the other day. Great. Sadly, I have not seen that movie.
Great movie. You'll be able to watch that. But this one's going to be relevant to the OVI 360.
All right, so tell me.
Or DUI 360.
Is it a lawyer movie?
No.
Okay.
No. You can think about it, but don't do it.
That sounds like something John Wayne would say or something.
Gidget's in the movie.
Gidget?
You don't even know who Gidget is, do you?
Yeah,
it's like you're aging yourself in so many ways.
I'm trying to be cool here and be like, oh, yeah, Gidget. I have no idea who you're talking
Gidget
about.
Gidget is also known as Sally Fields.
Okay.
She played Gidget,
a little surfer girl. I know where we're going now. So we're at, I know what movie it is. Now I can see it. General Lee, right?
No, you're close.
No.
Even closer.
Okay. Man. Does it have, what's his name in it?
Jackie Gleason.
Jackie Gleason.
Actually said the line. And then the all-star, the man with the hair.
Man.
Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So this is like Smoking the Bandit.
We're talking Smoking the Bandit.
All right.
Right.
All right. So at least I guessed it after a lot of hints.
The very beginning of the movie. He's got this. The very beginning of the movie, he's got these guys, these kids pulled over. There was a car broken down the side of the road, and these kids are probably.
There's a bunch of people probably screaming at their video right now.
They're stealing the kids are stealing the hubcaps or something. And, you know, I forget his name. I'm doing a total blank.
Is it the sheriff?
Yeah, what was the sheriff's name?
Oh, I don't know.
I keep thinking Buford Pusser, but that's Walking Tall. It's
I'm gonna Google it.
But I'm in hot pursuit. All right, anyway,
I can picture him.
So he walks up on him, and my son, by the way, at the time he was probably 8, knows every line to this movie.
Really?
Every single
Buford T. Justice.
Buford T. Justice, and Junior's in the car with him. So anyway, he pulls up, and these kids are. Stealing a bunch of hubcaps or something out of this car that was broken down on the side of the road. And he said, hold up there on that car wash. Yeah, it's a Coors beer east of Texas. But here's the point. He goes up to these boys and he gets them all in the assume the position, kicks the one kid in the ass and said, that's an attention getter. But what happens is he gets called on the run because the bandit's on the run or whatever's going on or somebody cruises by him. And he leaves those kids. And he says, you can think about it, but don't do it. And that's what dawned on me. See, we're talking about DUI 360. So this is a roundabout way to get to the DUI 360 concept.
Yeah.
And the concept, again, to remind everybody, is we are going to supply legal, factual, fun, interesting, other types of information about the DUI process. And I think this is a good segue to talk about our firm and what we do. You know, we look at things maybe a little bit differently. People come with problems, and I like to solve their big picture problems, not just their miniature legal problem.
Yeah.
And I like to help them with everything that's going on in their life. And DUIs have an impact perhaps on more aspects of somebody's life than they maybe even know.
Definitely.
From license suspensions to insurance to long-term problems with employment, just everything. Maybe even their own alcohol issues.
Yeah.
And the DUI 360 concept is to let us share with the podcast world how we do it.
We're going to really give up all those secrets?
We're going to give them all up. You know why? Because I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah. You're comfortable with who you are.
I don't think anybody's
comfortable in your manhood.
Comfortable in my manhood and arrogant enough to think, I don't care. Nobody else can do it anyway. Nobody else can be us.
Right.
Now, they can do their own version of this, but they can't do it the way we do it. But before we got there, we sort of introduced this in episode 1. Now, here we are in episode 2 of DUI 360.
Talking about smoking the bandit.
Talking about smoking the bandit. And everybody's wondering, what are you talking about? You can think about it, but don't do it.
Don't do the OEI. That's what you're saying.
That's the dialogue that you got to have in your head. I mean, I would be remiss to talk about drunk driving, drinking and driving, partying and driving, getting right. high and driving, doing whatever else you're doing in driving, and not at least talking about the most obvious thing. Don't do it.
Right.
Just don't do it. I mean, the quickest, cheapest, easiest way to avoid a drunk driving charge is don't do it.
Don't drink.
As Buford T. Justice, oh, look, you can drink till your heart's content.
Don't well, drive. But isn't that what we always talk about as the biggest problem with alcohol? It impairs your ability to make the correct decisions. So the problem is when you're drinking alcohol, a lot of times you're not thinking.
Well, and this is it, right? So what we're talking about here is maybe the best defense to an OVI is not to get one, which is not to do it.
So plan your night out in advance.
But you've just hit the nail on the head that even if you plan, that drug, alcohol, that is, can ruin even the best laid plans.
Yep.
And how many people have we had sitting in this office?
I had one this week.
What did he say?
Situation, the case is over now, but situation where he goes to a place to meet a girl and the girl's ex-boyfriend shows up. And he says, well, I don't want to be here. He didn't plan on driving that night. They'd already been drinking, having fun. And he said, the heck with this, I'm out of here.
Yep.
So his plan was, I'm going to go there and I'm in a safe place because I'm going to spend the night there. But then plan got derailed. He jumps in his car, goes cruising down the road after a few drinks, and guess what? There's the lights behind him.
Yeah, there's that frontal cortex or prefrontal cortex part of your brain, and alcohol attacks that very part of your brain, which helps you, enables you to make rational decisions. And it turns out, if you can't make rational decisions, you're not going to make a rational decision.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the problem is alcohol, as you said, impairs your ability not to drive by its very nature, yet that's what you set out to do.
Right.
And it's this catch 22. So
I saw this thing on Instagram today where Ben Stiller posted something. If you know who Ben Stiller is, I'm going to make you feel
weird.
All right.
See, I know Ben Stiller. Meet the parents, have some fun, Zoolander. Right. I get it.
So Ben Stiller, he posted something that was basically a blurry picture. It was himself, and the blurriness of the picture made it look like it was a woman. And it basically said, squint your eyes. This is how it looks when you're drinking. So you squint your eyes to the picture, and you can see that you can see it's Ben Stiller, but when you squint your eyes, it actually looks like an attractive woman. And that's kind of what we're dealing with. It just impairs your judgment.
It impairs your judgment.
Yeah. And what's that movie, Beer Fest? Remember Beer Fest? He thinks he's in like a suit and he's walking around and he's looking in the mirror and he's got he's got the box in his head and he's got like slobber down himself. Right, and he's man, looking good.
And I think what we're getting at is this notion that if we're going to talk to people about, and it's not lost on me that what everybody wants to hear is, what can they do to you? What can't they do to you? And what can you do to get out of an OVI once you get pulled over?
Well, we're going
to
get to that.
And we'll get to that as this series unfolds. But really, I don't think I'm doing my societal moral or meeting my societal moral obligation if I say just don't do it. But if you do,
sure,
there'll be lots of help here. But we're going to talk a little bit more today about the deterrent, some things that might help you deter yourself from actually doing it. And really, really locking down a plan before you go out and drink.
Mm-hmm.
And again, even so, those best laid plans often go awry. But
I guess the best start might be that you're nowhere near your keys or a car that you own.
Yeah. I mean, I can't give you.
Now, we still have the people who come in and say, well, Joey was supposed to drive. Joey got too drunk. I grabbed Joey's keys because I seem like the most sober one.
Right, right.
And tried to get it home. But
so here's the thing. Is that if you are out and let's start with this. If we're going to talk about deterrent, what did we do on Friday? Where'd we go?
What did we do on
Friday?
Thursday. Oh yeah. We headed to a lab.
We went to a lab, a state highway patrol crime lab.
Yep. And took a look at some blood vials from a very serious accident that caused the death of someone, and alcohol was involved.
This is a kid. I stress the word kid.
Yeah.
Who was driving. Had some alcohol in his system, and his best friend's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if anybody ever thinks to themselves as they're contemplating their night out, oh, I'm just going to have a few beers and I'll drive home. I'll be fine. I mean, I've driven on a six pack before. Everything will be cool. I can make it home. You're never thinking to yourself, if you don't make it home, it's not going to be because you killed somebody.
Right.
It's not going to be because you killed yourself. Yeah. It's not going to be because you've gotten this horrible crash where somebody can't walk anymore. Or we had one individual who ran in the back of a motorcycle and took the guy's legs off. I mean, it's like nobody ever thinks that the two or three beers will result in that. You're just worried about, oh, I don't want to get caught. But this was a very real, it was so laser focused to me when I was walking into that lab, and after 23 years, I was 23 or so odd years of doing this, I'd only been there. I don't know if I'd ever been there.
I've never been
looking
there.
At blood vials because we're down to this minutia of a blood alcohol content. And here's what got me so, I guess, I don't even know what the right word is. It just so concerned about this is that the blood alcohol content we're dealing with is ridiculously low.
Yeah.
It is low. I mean, it is not like we're dealing with a 0.2 or an 0.2, like a really high test. I mean, we're within hundredths, maybe thousandths of the legal limit.
Yeah.
And nobody thinks to themselves, all right, I've had those two glasses of wine. I think I'm going to be fine. I can make it home.
Yeah.
But what if you don't?
Yeah.
What if you don't? And if you get in a crash, even not your fault, and you've had those two glasses of wine, your concern about getting charged with OVI then changes to this complete, utter, catastrophic case where you're charged with murder.
Yeah.
Essentially murder.
Yep.
And the government, the police, the prosecutor, they don't care if you were close to the legal limit. They don't care if you were barely overly. They care that there was alcohol in your system. And, you know, when I was 18, 19 years old, or let's just say hypothetically, when I was 18, 19 years old, and we were driving around drinking beers and smashing.
Oh, you're talking about your buddy.
I'm talking about.
Yeah, someone else, right?
I'm not talking about, you know, just like the troubled youth who is now roughly around 48, 47, 48, who our time in high school was spent in the car driving and drinking and smashing bottles on signs. I mean, if somebody happened to be going out and doing that when they were 18, you never think to yourself, I could kill myself. I could kill somebody else.
Right.
You're just worried about, man, I wonder what my parents are going to do if I get caught.
Yeah.
Or what's the cops going to do to me if I get caught? It's like you don't have this notion. And I think our human instinct is not to go there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd never have soldiers, right?
Well, maybe. Yeah, I agree with that. But I think I've said this before, or maybe I haven't, but the step is unlike a lot of other criminal charges where you can go from a basic misdemeanor level offense that you're going to survive, that you're going to get a license suspension, but you're going to get your driving privileges, that you're going to go have to do your 3 days in jail or 3 days at a hotel that many people live in Ohio know about, and you're going to have to pay your fine. Maybe or maybe not do probation, who knows. But those are that's the minimum penalties right now in Ohio if you get convicted of an OVI. But the jump and what you're talking about is that little OVI rear-ending somebody and having a serious injury or killing them creates a mandatory prison sentence.
Well,
if you get convicted. That misdemeanor conduct, just because something happened to somebody else, takes a huge jump, a total life changer.
And it's like my dad always said, look, the margin or the difference between mediocre and excellence is razor thin.
Yeah.
The difference between, you know, a problem where maybe you're in trouble and you got some misdemeanor crap, go to a 3-day program, get a drug school, and maybe go to prison for the rest of your life. It's like, it's a twist of fate.
It is. It is.
Maybe
I mean,
completely out of your hands.
Yeah.
And that was this very real rush that hit me as I walked in that lab. I was like, we're walking into this place because we're fighting over a couple hundredths of a point on a blood test. When we have a client who went to the hospital, was almost killed himself.
Yeah.
And his friend was dead. And here's the irony. Here's what the real, I guess the very real thing that hit me is he thought he was okay to drive.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe he was.
Yeah.
Maybe he was.
Yeah. There's this line in the sand, and one line, the one side of that line is just pure accident.
Yep.
No criminal exposure at all. The other side of that line, what they want to prove is 0.08 or higher, and now it's vehicular homicide.
Well, and I think what we need to do, I'm going to make a note of this right now, we need to do a DUI 360 on this concept of back extrapolation.
Which for sure.
And this is, and we'll just give a little hint here, because we have a client who actually tested below what everybody here would think, or everybody listening would think, the legal limit.
So play that out. So if I drive a car and I get pulled over, and let's just say I don't even get in an accident, and I blow 0.06, what is that going to mean? Well, for most viewers, they're thinking, well, you didn't commit an OVI, you drank responsibly, you're under 0.08. But because we have a death here, this prosecutor's office has decided to do something called this retrograde extrapolation. That's when they employ an expert and they actually analyze where he may have been at that time that accident.
And when you
say
what his blood alcohol was at the time of the accident. So generally speaking, they have about 3 hours to get the tests in.
Yep.
There's this 3 hour rule, and it used to be a 2 hour rule, I mean, whatever it is, but they got a certain time frame to get a blood, breath, or urine test taken, or the sample taken.
Mm-hmm.
And generally in the run of the mill, nobody's dead, happy go lucky OVI, they're going to be cool with that result.
Yeah.
And if it comes back low, you're like, well, honey, hush.
Yep. Winner.
I'm low.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you're not going to get charged. Yeah, we'll talk about that in episode two. We might even do that later. We'll maybe do a double.
OVI impaired.
We'll talk about how you get charged. Yep. But here's when somebody's dead or really hurt, they're not good enough with that. They're going to go back those two or three hour periods, do some math or try to do some scientific math. Now, I happen to think that's a bunch of voodoo and mumbo jumbo and bad fuzzy math. We'll use the Bush fuzzy math.
Yeah.
But they're going to do it because somebody's dead.
Yep.
That's the problem. And I guarantee that anybody who's been in that situation, I've represented a few of them, a lot of them over the years. I hate to say a lot, but enough to know that everybody thought, man, I thought it was fine. And and here you get one that's razor thin on the margins where we're going down to count the blood or the red blood cell count in somebody's blood to determine whether or not the alcohol was simply dissolved in the extra water because there wasn't enough blood. I mean, it's like that's where we are.
And my eyes are rolling back in my head. Yeah.
Sadly, I know more about it than I need to.
Yeah.
But that's the problem. So back to this. We've got this societal notion where you think, I think you used the term last week, drink responsibly.
Yeah, drink responsibly.
And it's such a slippery concept.
You almost can't.
All right. So drinking responsibly. Yeah, I mean, look, I was a professional drinker. I was pro.
Yeah.
Start in the morning, rock and roll all day, just sort of meter them in all day long, have my, you know what my beer was?
Bush Light.
I loved it.
You get the camo cans ever?
I did. Hunter Orange cans. Oh no, I was a Bush Light guy, and I could just sip those.
Well, you see where the line? It's like you shouldn't be around alcohol hunting at all. But Bush Light, and it's socially accepted that you can walk in and get a case of camo colored, Bush Light can that you can just. I mean, it's just, it fits. It's just so.
I mean, look, drinking,
so strange.
Drinking is a blast.
Yeah,
it is a blast. I mean, it's a blast, but it impairs your ability to decide whether you ought to be driving. And it's funny. Everybody thinks they got this notion of responsible drinking. And here's the best example I can give. The best one I can give. I see it. I saw it last night. I was at a restaurant down near Cincinnati. And
Nasty Natty.
And I walked in. We were down there for some other event, my wife and I. And I walked down there. We drove down there. And I was just Googling restaurants that would have been near on the way because we didn't want to deal with downtown.
Jeff Ruby's, man. But I think there's one in town now.
Yeah, there is one in town. It is good. It's like I wasn't looking for the
$100
steak.
$150 steak, yeah.
I mean, I'm happy with a $10 burger. Yeah. And that's expensive to me.
Well, that's great.
We're back to burgers.
We are. We're back to burgers. Where's Bill?
And what goes better with a black and blue burger?
A black and blue burger. Oh.
Than a nice IPA.
I know.
And that's what
Cheer
I saw.
Off that stuff.
I don't drink anymore, but that's what I saw. I saw, as I walked by this place, which was called a bar and grill, my wife's like, is this a bar? And I was like, it's a bar and grill, but the menu was interesting. It had smoked food. It was interesting.
Yeah.
And it was more than just a burger and fry joint.
Right.
And then when I walked by, I saw families. I saw children. I saw people with children. They were all watching basketball. They had a bar side and a dining room side. I thought, perfect. Yeah. This is what I want. And then I looked around. I didn't say anything to my wife at the time, but I looked around and I saw a bunch of guys and their spouses or significant others consuming alcohol. All right, no big deal.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do. It's responsible drinking in our society. Right. But you used to make beer. You still make beer?
Not much anymore. I've got all the stuff. I should probably sell that stuff. Sadly, I've got probably thousands.
Your daughters are going to want that stuff when they're equipment. About 15, 16. They're going to want to start making beer.
Yeah.
No, so it's an IPA. You were.
I love IPAs. I mean, to get to your point, it's like, well, a couple things. I get what you're getting at with the IPA. So everybody looks at, I've seen this, and we've watched YouTube videos on it before, like units of alcohol. I think overseas they did something where how many units of alcohol do you drink a week? It's like an IPA is usually not going to be a unit of alcohol. Now, they're making these session IPAs now. They're 3% and 4%, so they're more like a Busch Light that you drink. But usually we got like Hop Slam and everything coming out all seasons of the year that are 10% alcohol, 8% alcohol, 9%.
And
what you're hearing at dinner is great. Black and Blue Burger sounds great. We got some fresh IPAs on tap. Would you like that to be 16 ounces or would you like it to be 22 ounces? Well, now we're not at 12 ounces anymore.
It used to be when I was sort of graduating in my professional drinking, we'd go over to Hoster's, and that was the first sort of around here, the craft beer place we'd go.
Yeah.
They would have pints, and that was only 16 ounces, pint glass.
Yeah.
The perfect decanter.
That is not a bottle, and that's not a can.
Right. It's more than 12.
Yeah.
And then they started making the same shape pint glass because it is the perfect shape for a cold beer, I think.
Right.
In 20 ounces. So you could get 20 ounce pints.
Yeah.
But that's not a pint at all.
Yeah.
And why not have two, right? So right. And then they would even recommend the one you get, or they have happy hour, you drink three of them. But
right.
My point of this is everybody thinks that they're drinking responsibly as they're sitting there with their kids, with their wife, with their husband, and having two or three beers with their dinner because it's so socially acceptable now to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, when those folks get behind the wheel of the car, they are probably over the legal limit.
Yeah.
They probably are.
Yeah. Very close.
I think when people ask me now, we get all sorts of questions. First, do I have to take the test? We're going to get to that. I mean, those are easy questions. Or what do I have to do this? Do I have to do that?
Yeah.
But I also get a question. It's like, what is my, how much can I drink before I got to worry about it? And I would say this. I think you have to start worrying about how much you had to drink as soon as you can't answer a very simple question or you have trouble processing a very simple question. You know what that question is?
Usually when you say this, you say, how would you feel if a cop said, I want you to take field sobriety test?
Would you like to take a breathalyzer test?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And you're just thinking, well, shit.
Yeah.
I drank the way everybody else drinks. I had two beers. Well, maybe it was an IPA. I don't know. But I had one Bud Light, and then I had one IPA. And well, I mean, I usually drink a lot more. Yeah, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'll do that. I'll do your field sobriety test, too.
Yeah.
But you had to hesitate when you thought about that.
Yeah.
And you're probably over the legal limit. You're probably over the legal limit. If your spidey sense, the little voice in your head says, oh, shit, I don't know I don't know how to answer this question.
Yeah.
Or you got that little ping in your gut and you're just thinking, gigs up now.
Yeah.
And you're looking around, your wife's next to you and your kid's in the car seat in the back and you got the other kid who's out of the car seat, but she's playing with the iPad. She's not sure what's going on. Daddy, is that a police officer?
Yeah, my goodness.
It's like, now what?
And you drink responsibly. It's per se child endangering. So if they're charging you with OVI and you get a kid in the back, you are getting a second charge.
Right. So now we got domino.
Yeah.
This is dominoes, man. So you're going to get the OVI. You're going to get the child endangerment. Right. You're going to get it all because you had this societal notion that you drank responsibly. You had two or three beers.
Yeah.
And here's what happens.
And it starts there. I guarantee you the first thing you heard at that burger joint is that waitress coming up and saying, let me get you started with a drink tonight. We got a couple draft beers here. We've got a bottle list. Yeah. We've got several wines. What would you guys like today?
What would you like?
And it almost always starts with the alcohol component.
Always, right? Yep. And why? They make a shit ton of money on it. But
Have you ever watched, who's the guy that screams at everybody for the restaurants? Bar Rescue.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him?
John Tapper.
Yeah. It's like they're... statistically, if there's food involved, there's alcohol involved, they're going to stay longer.
They're going to stay longer, the bar serve business. You more. So I used to go to the restaurants. The first thing I would do is check out the beers. In fact, I would pick the restaurants for the beers.
I'm with you. I understand.
And I would grab an IPA. It depends on the day I had. Man,
it's like, you guys want to go to Bob Evans?
I don't know, man. I'm going to El Vaquero. They got Dos Equis at El Vaquero.
And they got the big ones.
The big ones, Daddy. Though you had two big ones.
Yeah.
But it's like you go for the beer and you have one while you're looking at the menu. And then get an appetizer. Eh, I'll have another one. I mean, I didn't even count them after a while. And 3, 4, 5, 6 beers, I would think to myself, yeah, I haven't had that much. And I think there's this notion, right? Because I grew up in an era where you measured by the 12-pack.
Right. Right.
It was Bud Lights, but you measured by the 12-pack, yeah. Right? I mean, that
was something coming to mind right now. Liquid Courage.
Liquid Courage, right?
That's what it is.
Yeah. And we would – so if I had 6 beers, it's like, yeah, I haven't had that much.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'm not worried about work tomorrow. I mean, I can do that.
Maybe here's the test. If you're thinking to yourself, I haven't had that much, you shouldn't drive.
Yeah.
Because the I haven't had that much is just enough to get you in trouble.
Yeah.
And maybe more.
I don't think there's any drinking responsible. I certainly have been guilty of not drinking responsibly in my own life, but
it's a
freaking
blast. Getting wasted is a blast.
I don't drive. You know what I mean? It's like I just don't do that because my wife knows it terrifies me to when we go on a date night. It's like we plan ahead. I'm like, I'm not – let's just take an Uber down there. Let's take an Uber back. If both people are going to be drinking and we'll say, well, I'll only have one. It's like my wife knows. Don't even hit me with that one. I don't even care. Yeah. I'll order a lemonade. I do not want to be stopped.
Well, it's just too many people – that's awesome that you do that.
Well, it's because we do what we do. We see it every day. Yeah. We see good people come in here that have jobs and families and they never thought they'd be sitting in our office.
And I just don't think people – I don't know if people drink the way they did when I was – when I was younger, it's like we had the old Spuds McKenzie, Bud Light, rock
didn't
and
have
roll
the options either.
Chicks in bikinis.
I mean, if you're slamming shots of alcohol, liquor, vodka or something like that, it's like that's one thing. But it's like they didn't have. You didn't walk in the 80s and 90s into a bar. What was maybe Guinness, maybe Sam Adams, but those aren't high alcohol. It's like they didn't have this world we have now.
Right.
And they're even trying to combat it at some of like the bigger breweries because if you order this Hop Slam, do you notice now they're serving it to you in these like. Almost like flute type glasses, the smaller
bunch
ones.
Of bullshit.
Because they're like, well, I'm going to give this guy 6 ounces because this thing's a 10%.
6 ounces.
It's like, that's good for their business. You know what I mean? Because you're not going to, shell out so much alcohol. But it's also, I guess, recognizing now that I can't pour this thing into a 16-ounce glass because this guy's going to be wasted when it's all said and done.
I went to the old Bag of Nails. It's a place around Columbus.
Yep.
And this is years ago, probably early 2000s. I would guess 2000. I don't even know if I'd kid you. Anyway,
Bag of Nails.
They had the Christmas ale. I didn't think anything of it.
Oh yeah, Christmas ale.
I go order. We sit down. Same scenario we're talking about.
Yeah.
Sit down. What can I get you a drink? I said, what you got on spell? We got the Christmas ale. Oh yeah, sure. I'll take one.
Sure.
And I took a Christmas ale, and my typical MO: grab a beer, check out the menu,
yeah.
Order, get another one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe by the time the food gets there, that second one's gone. And this was close to my house. We probably could have walked home. I doubt we did. But
kids order dessert. Well, I got my own dessert.
And then while the food's there after dinner, it was fun. Let's have a little aperitif or whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
I have another one. I was freaking plowed, man. I had 4 Christmas ales. And I get home.
What are the 12 like, dogs of Christmas or something like that? There's one that always comes out.
I don't know what the hell this was. But I was like.
Oh, it's probably 10, 11, 12.
I was looking around. I was just like, I am freaking wasted. Wasted out of my gourd.
Yeah.
And that was sort of my first introduction to that kind of crap.
And back then, the law was 12% in Ohio. So there's other states that can sell alcohol. Well, liquor we all know is more than that. But as far as a beer beverage goes, malt beverage, you couldn't go higher than 12 back then. Now, Christmas ales, you're more powerful. You can walk into your local beer store and you're looking at the thing and you're like, holy crap, this thing's 16% alcohol. It's like I saw an IPA last night, the 120-minute Dogfish Head IPA. That's 16.5% alcohol.
Yeah, see, that's just no
IPA.
Fun for me. I'd rather drink 30 Busch Lights. And they do come in 30
packs. But the flavor, I have tasted that one. That one is, it's a little too intense. I love Dogfish Head beer. But
flavor. It's a flavor. Anyway, the notion of this, and here's what's interesting. It translates across all of society. So if you're the dude who likes the Busch Light, happen to be me. If you're the dude who likes to drink the fancy $100 bottles of wine and think you have the palate to discern between which ones, what vintage is
what are
which.
What are they called? Sommelier? Whatever the heck. But they're good. They can really do it. They can tell you like what valley it came from,
they
what
can tell
year.
You all the covers. Chablis.
What is it?
Chablis. Chablis.
What's that?
I don't know, just wine. To me, it was like Chablis.
Chablis is a type of wine?
Chablis or something.
Like, are we talking about like box wine here?
Look, box wine. It's all wine is wine to me. So it's
red or white. That's all
red or white or, you know, Thunderbird.
Pinot Noir.
Thunderbird, oh, yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah. What was the one, Boone's Farm? That's what I was just going to say. Yeah.
Now, that's a good wine right there.
Clear bottle that's like blue, like, you know.
It's Boone's. Mad Dog 2020.
Laundry detergent, Mad Dog 2020.
Yeah, that's a good wine right there. But
my dad told me when I was young, this is kind of off topic, but when I was young, if you're going to buy alcohol, he's like, if you're going to drink and make a mixed drink or whatever, because back when I was a freshman, people didn't like beer that much. Some people did. Most people were mixing mixed.
Sissy land, where you
came from. He just said, do yourself a favor and buy something in a glass bottle, not in a plastic bottle. I don't think I took the advice, but he's like, usually the ones in the glass bottles are going to be filtered a little bit more, and you're not going to wake up with the worst hangover.
I mean, what was the wine coolers that come in at 2 liters? Sun Country. Remember those suckers?
Sun Country.
Sun Country wine. See, this again, I'm dating myself. Sun Country. Look, everybody from the 80s knows Sun Country wine coolers in the 2 liter bottle.
Yeah.
So we go to the drive thru. It's like, yeah, we need a. It used to be Budweiser because that's the king of beers, right? So we'd get a case of Budweiser.
Don't even get me started.
Then we got fat. So we perceived that Bud Light would somehow help that. We'll take the Bud Light. And we're 18, 19 years old.
Bud Heavy.
So it was Budweiser, and then it went to Bud Light, and then. We got poor because we had to drink two, and one case turned into two, whatever.
Keystone.
So then it was Natty Light.
Oh, Natty, yeah. 30 stones from Keystone. Natty Light was popular.
And then Busch Light came out right about when I went to college, and then it was so much better than all of them. But
did you do Miller High Life at all?
I love the Miller High Life. You know what I really liked?
I think
it was Coors.
Coors
is a nice,
we're gonna do
thick, heavy beer.
I'm fine with Coors.
I was just drinking water. Anyway, it's like that was sort of the progression. It's like starts with Budweiser because you think you're drinking the king of beers, and Bud Light because, you know, you think you're getting it's better for you. And then
it's like Diet Coke.
You're
killing yourself somewhere.
Then it's like it's too expensive, so it's Natural Light. And it sort of degrades, or maybe Bush at some point in there too, and then Natural Light. And then it degrades down to like the Milwaukee's Best and Milwaukee's Best Light and Blatt's. I mean, all the good stuff.
Blatt's.
And then we would order that plus Schlitz. A four pack. Like Bartles and James was the good cooler.
Bartles or James.
But that's expensive. We would get the Sun Country and the 2 liters. 2 liters of Sun Country to go with it because you get the girls in the car.
They're
passing the 2 liter
around
the back.
Dude, we love your wine coolers. See, that's a reference you do not. There's no way you know that movie. Oh my gosh, it's Bartles or James. Dude, we love your wine coolers. This old guy sitting on a porch. Pauly Shore. Pauly Shore is the actor. And he comes from college, and he's this like partying dude, and he goes to a farm for the summer.
Like Encino Man or something?
No, Encino Man's close. It's Son-in-Law.
Son-in-Law. All right.
Claire's
movie. I know that movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know where we're going. Oh, here's where I was going with this. So you can get these super high-end wealthy restaurants where these people have the discerning palate for the kind of vintage or which grape was used in the wine, and they're going to suck down two or three of those and think that's responsible drinking. They got the same freaking problem. They're going to get pulled over just because they're wearing a shirt and tie from their dinner versus my T-shirt from my Busch Lights.
Yeah.
It's like they got the same issue.
Right.
And they're like, well, I mean, I only had two glasses of wine. Well, that's really three because then we had to pour it after dinner. Well, it's the same crap. You're not wasted, but you're right on that cusp and you don't know what to do. So the deterrent is the problem with the deterrent is really twofold. Our society has given us this go ahead to drink responsibly, but there is no such thing.
Yeah.
When you mix it with driving.
You pull over, you roll your window down, that cop says, hey, have you been drinking tonight? If that question comes out of his mouth, you've been drinking tonight? You got a problem.
Right. That's when you got a problem. That's when your heart skips a beat.
Yep.
You feel that little tingle of butterfly in your stomach begin, and you're just like,
I'm not saying that officers at that point are going to make a decision to arrest you. I would hope that they're going to, and I think a lot of them do, you know, see how you do on field sobriety tests. But now you are going through a gamut of field sobrieties, and you are being watched very closely. And keep in mind that the person that's administering these on you has been able to be trained in this. They've sat in a gymnasium and performed these themselves, being under the influence of alcohol. It's like the standard.
FSTs, field sobriety tests, and DUI 360. We're going to do one on that too. But you're right. And here's the thing, though. The cops know, just like you know, when you roll up on your buddies at the basketball party watching the Final Four at their buddy's garage or in his basement, you're the last guy there, and these guys are all eight beers in. You're like, They're drunk.
Yeah.
Right? They're drunk.
I had a prosecutor in some
– you don't need field sobrieties to tell you that.
Some county way outside of Columbus say – I was like, man, these field sobrieties, they act like they don't – these officers that did these tests on this guy, they act like they don't even know how to do them. They're not giving really proper instruction. They're not following the manual. You know, I'm throwing all my knowledge at this prosecutor. And he's like, it don't matter down here. these sheriffs know, I know a drunk dude when I see one.
That's right. I know a drunk dude when I see one, and I know how to talk about it.
Yeah.
But those field sobrieties, what they're designed to do is give you a framework or give the system a framework to define being drunk or define being impaired. And you don't need it in the real world. I mean, look, I'm drunk.
Yeah.
You're drunk.
Well, you know. Yeah. You're looking across the bar. It's like, look at that guy.
But then you have to describe it.
Yeah.
But the ultimately, the issue is there is no such thing as responsible drinking when it comes to driving, at least from our perspective when we see problems. Because what would be more responsible or how could our client who killed somebody be any more responsible than having a blood test below the legal limit, yet kill somebody as a result of an accident? I don't know. Somebody dies as a result of an accident. I'm not going to even attribute causation to him.
Yeah.
And now here he is charged with ag vehicular homicide, mandatory freaking prison, lifetime license suspensions, ruined life.
Right.
Because he drank responsibly. How could he have been any more responsible?
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah.
And if you think that you're drinking responsible when you're having 2 pints at dinner on Saturday with your wife and children or your husband and children, and you're driving home and get pulled over going 40 and a 30 or 25, if you think, no problem, officer, I was drinking responsibly.
Yeah.
Well, how much you had? I was responsible. Well, why don't you come on out of the car here, son?
How much did you have? I had exactly 2 beers. Well, they hear that all the time. How many times have we looked at paperwork and it says, he had two beers. Everybody has two beers.
All right. Yep. So the cop's going to think, two freaking beers, my ass. 2 beers. Hop out, son. We're going to do some field sobriety tests.
Yeah.
And then it's game on. Now you're in our office because you get good representation here. But now you're in a law office on Monday morning thinking, shit, I got this job. I make all this money. I can't get to work. I can't make all this money. My wife is pissed off. My kids, I'm going to embarrass. I mean, it's like you have this whole parade of emotions because you were drinking responsibly.
Yeah.
There ain't no such thing when it comes to driving. If you think you're drinking responsibly, maybe the best way to say it is not a defense to OVI or to drunk driving, OVI, DUI, getting wasted in driving, whatever you want to call it, to say it was responsible drinking.
Yeah.
They define it differently.
Yeah.
Or they're going to think differently about it. And particularly if somebody's dead. What do you think our client's going to – what's going to the jury and say, ladies and gentlemen, he was drinking responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that guy said is bullshit. Our guy's drinking responsibly.
Yeah.
And he was on a legal limit. No, they don't care. Prosecutor doesn't care. They're going to try to make it like he was over the legal limit.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't have done any of that unless somebody died. So I guess the point is rule number one, there is no such thing as responsible drinking – As it relates to the legal system.
That I like that better.
All right.
I was going to say as it relates to a car, but yeah.
Now, there may be responsible drinking. Like, look, in my day, if I had 6 beers versus 15, that was responsible drinking. Mm. I can wake up tomorrow and still function. I drank very responsibly that day.
Mm.
I drank 6 beers over 4 hours. That was very responsible for me. Now, my wife, she'll drink half a glass of wine, leave the other half, and I'll look at her. It's like, what a waste of wine. You got freaking kidding me? That's responsible drinking for her. She has 2 glasses of wine. That's irresponsible in her mind. But none of that relates at all to the legal system.
Yeah.
And it's an undefined, ridiculous rubber stamp on getting drunk. And I'm cool with it. I don't care about it. Drink up. Have a blast. But don't think that this notion of forgiveness and drinking responsibly in our society is going to help you when you come in to a law office or you go to court or they find you. They find you drinking and driving and say, we don't give a crap if you're responsible. Now you got to prove it. And you're thinking, shit, I don't know what responsible is after that. It's like, if you think you knew what was responsible. So you're fooling yourself, maybe is the best way to say this. Now, am I indicting drinking generally? Nah, not at all. Have fun. Have a blast. Drink up. Party up. But the two problems you got is what we think is responsible drinking – usually the police don't.
Yeah.
And even if they do, they don't care. And responsible drinking often turns into irresponsible drinking.
Yeah.
How many times you do that? You set out, I'm going to drink 2 beers. 2 beers. Next thing you know, it's like your buddy shows, oh, dude, you're home too.
Yeah.
Rock I guess and I'll roll.
Have one more.
How about a Jaeger?
Oh, yeah.
How about a Jaeger? Yep. We'll do that. Like that time, we get to start telling drinking stories later. But
Jaeger bomb is where you're going with that one.
Do a Jaeger, whatever it is.
Nick and I puked outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I drank responsibly that night. Yeah. I had six beers. I didn't do the Jaeger bomb, right? Yeah. I had six pints of some big beer.
Yeah.
But I drank responsibly because I didn't puke outside and I didn't have the Jaeger bombs.
And Jaeger bomb is, just so everybody knows, it's half a pint of Guinness and you drop in a shot of Jaeger. Wait a minute, though. No, no. We did Irish car bombs.
Irish car bombs. That's Irish.
Yeah. Is that so Jameson? We drop in Irish whiskey. No. No, it's the Kahlua stuff, I think, because it makes it like milky. Oh,
whatever.
I don't think.
Whatever
know.
The hell it is.
Whatever it is. Anything look, that has a bomb in the name.
Now, you're going, I'm like, going old school because what we used to do is go to the bar and order the Boilermaker.
Oh.
You get the shot. I always got bourbon. Beam.
Is it just a sidecar or you drop it in?
Some people drop it in. Some people keep it on the side.
Yeah.
Chase it with the beer.
Yeah.
And you would get the glasses. Like this is like old school 12-ounce glasses, right? They look like orange juice glasses. You would get in little draft beers at the old school bar that's like the Formica top and the plastic stools. And you'd sit there with – those are the kind of bars I love. My favorite kind of places.
Peanuts on the counter.
I want a Budweiser and a shot of Beam. Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Rock and roll. And how responsible is that, right? I mean, how many of those?
Mathematically, you're like, where am I at?
Damn, it was fun.
Yeah.
But you've got those two problems. One, again, I'm going to repeat them because that's how important it is. Your version, society's version, and this notion of drinking responsibly is not defined. And even if it were, it's not defined in any way that's going to get you out of trouble when the law pulls you over. When law dog says,
yeah,
how many you had to drink, and you say, oh, I was responsible.
Right. Well, where did that come from, drink responsibly? Where do we hear that?
The people that sell you.
People that sell the booze. That's where you hear them. You hear them in the Bud Light commercial
don't
at the end of everything.
Too much. Do it responsibly.
Let's put people in bikinis and bathing suits and having fun and slamming my beer. And then they say, oh, but drink responsibly.
Drink responsibly. Yeah. Not responsible for determining how many drinking responsibly really is.
Have it's fun. Like, and now it's not no longer drunk driving. Don't drunk driving. You drunk driving, you get thrown in jail. They have all those commercials. Now what it is, don't drive buzzed.
Don't drive buzzed.
Buzz driving is drunk driving.
Well, that was my thing in the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not drunk. I just got a little bit of a buzz.
Yeah, right.
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
But that's the first problem. Responsible drinking doesn't fit within a law, and it's undefined anyway. And the people who try to define it, or the people that throw that out there, the people that want to sell you more alcohol. Not that you shouldn't be drinking. Don't take that this way. Drink up. Have a blast. It's fun.
I don't think anybody's taking it that way. How many alcohol references have we made in our own lives in just this podcast?
Sure. But then the responsible drinking often becomes irresponsible drinking, and that's when your frontal cortex gets all out of whack.
Yeah.
And your Uber turns into driving your buddy's car home, and you wrap it around a telephone pole, or you end up going the wrong way on a ramp on getting from I-71 onto 270. And if you think that can't happen, it does every weekend.
Yeah.
And or
well, how many crimes can we relate to alcohol and started at a bar or started with a girlfriend and we were drinking or started
no
a
funny
fight.
Story ever started with I ordered a water, right? That's the thing.
Right.
So those are the things. Now, that's start with that premise and skip to the deterrent here. Your version of responsible drinking could put you in prison for the rest of your life. Your version of responsible drinking could put you in Dutch with your entire family for creating an offense called child endangering, because it is actually a crime to be under the influence of alcohol. It's not defined by responsible drinking. It's defined by the law if you got a kid in your car. So the two pints you had at the old watering hole and had a burger with your family while your kids were getting five lemonades, you're driving them home and committing two crimes now. And it's automatic, right?
Yeah.
It's per se. It's per se.
You get convicted of the OVI in the presence of they don't have to prove anything else. It's per se.
That's right.
Danger.
So if there's any way to come up with DUI 360 deterrent, it is those two kinds. Just boil it down to real simple terms. Every plan that you have ever laid to not drink and drive can go wrong. Every time you think you're driving responsibly, it can go wrong.
Yeah.
And start with that premise. I'm not saying don't do it. You can think about it, but don't do it. Yeah. Right? That's the thing, right?
Buford T. Justice in your ear.
Buford T. Justice.
On your shoulder.
If you think that if you can think about those two beers and drive, but don't do it.
Yeah.
Because Buford T. Justice is in hot pursuit.
Yep.
That's the deal. So,
that was a good accent. I like it.
You like that?
Yeah.
Go watch it. You know what? They sell that movie in triplet. You can get 1, 2, and 3. Now, I'm not a big fan of 2 and 3. I'm really not a big fan of, but you can get it all. You know what they call it?
A trilogy?
The Pursuit Pack.
The Pursuit Pack.
You can get Smokey and the Bandit, right. 1, 2, and 3, all in one, probably some anniversary set, special edition Pursuit Pack.
Yeah.
And you can watch the Bandit.
That's the one you bought and you thought it was going to be banned, right? Because I think it's got the rebel flag on the outside of the box, right?
Oh, no. I bought the entire Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's every season. Because that's when they started burning all the Confederate stuff.
Yeah.
And okay. I just couldn't live without Uncle Jesse, Bo and Luke.
Yeah.
And the General Lee.
Yeah.
And Cooter. And Boss Hogg and Roscoe.
I don't know how much I've watched of that. I've seen some of them, obviously. I know what it is, but I've never. Did you ever watch the newer one?
Well, you
with
know
Johnny Knoxville?
Yeah.
It's got to be crap, right?
I'm not watching that bull. Nah, I'm an old school guy. So you happen to know somebody that has the entire anthology of Dukes of Hazzard on DVD.
Yeah.
That was a Christmas gift to my children that they won't forget. They'll cherish that.
Awesome.
They're going to cherish that. You know what I did the very next year?
What?
I took a pilgrimage down to Cooter's.
Oh, that's right.
In
I remember
Nashville.
That. Yeah.
And you knew who was there?
The General Lee.
Well, the General Lee was there, yeah, for sure. And one of them, anyway. Catherine Bach, Daisy.
Oh, really? Live how old is she now?
In the flat. Old enough that you could tell she was older than she used to be. But she was signed. You know what? She's a very nice woman. And we waited in this line all day, and she was late getting there because some transportation snafu. And we all waited in this huge line. Nobody wanted to be there. It sucked. But when we finally got there, she was awesome. She signed all sorts of crap for us. And I still have my boys got a picture of her signed. So, you know.
That's cool.
We watched the entire Dukes of Hazzard and then went to Cooter's, bought a bunch of memorabilia, met the hottest girl of my TV time.
So Daisy was the girl back then, huh?
Oh, yeah. She was. I mean, it's like, you know, it's Daisy. It's like, I don't even know what was stirring in my loins back then if you're going to get back to Sheriff Buford T. Justice. There is no way you could have come from my loins.
Mm.
So, but back to it, the Dukes never drove drunk. But they all, actually, you know what? They did. They used to go to the Boar's Nest, and they were always sipping some draft beer.
Yeah.
There was never any discussion of how much you could have or how much you shouldn't have or how much you could serve or how much you shouldn't serve. So they were responsibly drinking in this metaphorical way in a family-related show. You probably wouldn't see that these days.
Look like Cheers.
Cheers, but they didn't.
They're sucking down beers the whole time.
But you never really knew how they got home.
Yeah, well, you only assume.
It was Boston. They just took public transportation.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, but and Mayday Malone, he was sober.
Yeah, he was sober.
He was sober.
Yeah.
So next time you're sitting at a bar, but this is the best thing. Next time you're sitting at a restaurant and Junior and your daughter, both there, wife is there and you're thinking about it, ordering that second IPA.
Yep.
You can think about it, but don't do it.
So are you saying one's okay?
No, but you've already done that.
Save it for when you get home.
You can't stop that.
Yeah.
You can't stop. You can't pick up a six pack on the way home.
Yeah.
Say, honey. I was a good husband tonight.
Yeah.
Or
take
hubby,
turns.
Hubby, I was a good wife tonight.
Take turns.
It's my turn. I'm gonna suck down some beers. But even then, what do you do in the middle of the night when your kid wakes up with an earache and you suck down six IPAs watching the rest of the basketball game?
Yeah.
You drive to the ER?
You're right.
You can think about it.
Yep.
But don't do it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's lawyer talk, thinking about it, but not doing it. We are off the record. Lawyer talk, off the record, on the air, until now on this DUI 360.